Good morning, Your Honors. William Stevens on behalf of Darnell Jackson. May it please the Court. The issue in this case is whether Mr. Jackson should have received the four-point enhancement for another crime. And I think one of the ways of approaching this is to look at what he was charged with, what he could have been charged with, and how those would play out in the guidelines. The government notes on page 6 of its brief that, and they contend that Mr. Jackson committed a 922G3 offense in possessing a firearm and a 922D3 offense for making an unlawful sale of a firearm. And obviously, those are two separate offenses. But if they were both charged in the indictment, the guidelines would require that those two offenses be grouped together and all dealt with as a 2K2.1 offense.
But I don't see where, either in the guidelines or anywhere else, the grouping rules factor back into the definition of another felony offense for purposes of 2K2.1B6. And, you know, the idea of grouping is to add some rationality to sentencing, but another, as you've just said, it is another felony offense. You can possess forever without selling to somebody, but when you take the additional act of selling to another person, a prohibited person in this instance, you've done something else. So I just don't see where the grouping rules have the force that you're trying to give them.
Well, if the charging of the offense would result in the you coming up with a base offense line, a base offense without the four-point enhancement, and not charging them, charging that offense, results in a four-point enhancement, it calls into question how we should construe the exception to the in the application note about not including the firearms or explosive offense.
And but when you group, you adjust anyway.
Isn't the question we just have to have answered is whether Jackson knew or intended that his transfer would lead to yet another felony. And, you know, the answer is yes. Why do we have to go any further than that?
The application note contains an exception for the firearms offense, and the question is whether when you look at what the firearms offense is, it depends upon really whether the transfer was or was not charged as a separate crime. If it wasn't charged as a separate crime, which is what we have here, you get a different result than if it was, is in terms of the sentencing. And that makes the construction that the government and the district court applies an irrational construction of the application note and of the guideline. If he was indicted for these two things, there would be no upward adjustment for the other offense. The base offense level for both crimes would be dealt with together under 2K2.1, And so my point is that it should not. One of the whole points of the guidelines is to provide uniformity and to take the charging decisions out of how the guidelines are applied. And unfortunately, when we have a harsher sentence from not charging a crime than when both could be charged, that I believe is a time when it is inappropriate to enhance the sentence by the 4 points when those 4 points would disappear if they were both charged. I mean
where do you see in the guidelines section about the 4 levels that the possession and the transfer have to be separately charged? Let's see that.
They don't have to be. The point is that if they were separately charged, then the two would be grouped together and would both fall under the 2K2.1 guideline without any increase in offense level. And there certainly can be other crimes, non-firearms crimes, where the 4-point enhancement is always appropriate. But I'm saying that where this other crime falls under the substantive same guideline and is not a burglary or a drug offense, then in that circumstance, the application of 2K2.1 really.
But why? I don't understand. If he gets 4 levels for the possession plus the transfer, what difference does it make how they're charged?
If he was indicted for both crimes.
Well, who cares what difference does it make? The guideline doesn't talk about that. It doesn't care. Why should we care?
It does make a difference. If he's convicted of 2 firearms counts, 2 922 offenses, both of those are dealt together under 2K2.1.
This is where you get back to grouping, because it just says other than the explosive or firearms possession or trafficking offense. So if there's another offense, you get the extra 4 points. Obviously, the district judge, if he thinks the guidelines calculation has overstated the matter, can always tune the sentence under 3553. But I think you're reading a lot into this definite article, the explosive or firearms possession, as to mean, you know, everything associated with that package.
But it's because the uncharged firearms offense would, if charged, not result in a higher base offense level of the guideline and would not call for the 4-point enhancement because of the grouping rules. And so it turns upon whether the government does or does not charge the second offense. And when they do not charge the second offense, the guidelines call for a harsher sentence than if they do. And I'm saying that construction of the firearms requirement is not a proper construction of the guidelines under these circumstances.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Stephen. Your time has expired. Ms. Cremens?
Good morning. May it please the Court. Emily Cummings on behalf of the United States. The District Court did not clearly err when it applied the four-level enhancement in Sentencing Guidelines Section 2K2.1B6B. Jackson tries to bring in the grouping guidelines, but as the panel noted, in this case he was not charged with two offenses, and under the introductory comments to Chapter 3, Part D, the grouping provisions, it clearly says that those do not apply, or that those only apply in situations where there are multiple counts.
Additionally, do you agree with Mr. Stevens that if the government had charged him with the other felony offense, we would have had this anomaly of the 4 points not applying?
I don't, Your Honor, because under the grouping guidelines, while yes, both of the hypothetical offenses, assuming that one of them would be the 922G1 felon in possession and the other would be the 924D3 transfer, unlawful transfer, offenses would be, their base offense levels would be determined under 2K2.1, but with the way that the grouping provisions work, you would use the base offense level that was higher from the two offenses. So we would still go through the same process that the district court did here and would apply the specific offense characteristics as they applied to each offense. And you would look only at, you know, for example, the 922G1 offense. So looking then at specifically subsection B6B, getting to the exception for other than the explosive or, you know, firearm offense, it still references back to only the offense of conviction. So the fact that there was an additional, that the defendant possessed the gun in connection with with knowledge that it would be possessed in connection with another felony offense or that he used it, that would still, the four-level enhancement would still apply.
So to something in a different count in the same indictment?
Correct. In this case, it would be that four-level enhancement would apply when conducting the guidelines calculation for the 922G1 offense, and presumably then the base offense level for that offense would be higher than the base offense level for the 924D3 offense. And so then under the grouping guidelines, the base offense for the 922G1 would be higher. Mm-hmm. And in addition, you know...
Now, is there any factual finding by the district court that Mr. Jackson knew that Dirks was a felon and knew about the... I mean, it seems it's all lumped together. Knew not only that he was a drug user, but that he was a felon.
There was, discussion in the defendant's pre-sentence report when the probation officer was, I guess, summarizing the offense conduct, and it would be in paragraph 5, that Jackson knew that Dirks, the other individual, was an illegal drug user at the time. And the district court adopted all of those, or that specific paragraph, at the sentencing hearing without objection from either the government.
So what does it take to be an illegal drug user? Does that mean user of illegal drugs, or does that mean...
I actually had the exact same question, Your Honor, and I looked at the language of 922G3, and it said that it is unlawful for anyone to possess a firearm who is an unlawful user of any controlled substance.
So you're using a controlled substance in an unlawful way.
There's some controlled
substances that have both legal uses and illegal uses. So you get prescription pharmacy violations and...
Correct. Yes. I believe there was also... the government made a factual proffer at the sentencing hearing, and based on that, see if I can find the page number for you. It is the government's factual proffer, I guess, on page 9 of the sentencing transcript, where the AUSA is describing the statement that Jackson made to the special agent after he was arrested, and he admitted that he sold the firearm to a person who Jackson described as being in his 40s and said he smoked drugs. And that Jackson had met this individual multiple times at the home of an individual that Jackson knew was a cocaine dealer. So there were facts presented at the sentencing transcript and also in the PSR that were not objected to, that the district court based its finding then that Dirks was, in fact, an unlawful user of a controlled substance.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Freeman. Ms.
Thank you.
Further?
The government's analysis of how you would add the 4-point increase if both were charged is not correct, because you work through the specific offense characteristics of each charge and then come to the conclusion of what the offense level is. And at that point, you make the
Does this distinction you're arguing make any sense?
Yes.
Why should the punishment be different depending on whether the two offenses were charged separately?
The punishment should be the one as if they were both charged. Otherwise, the charging decision of the government increases the penalty. And that's the kind of manipulation.
The sentence to be identical regardless of whether it's charged or not. Of course, she said it would be identical.
But that's not the way you do an offense level calculation under the guidelines.
Okay, well, we'll check that. Okay, so thank you.
You're welcome.
And you, Mr. Stevens, and you were appointed.
Oh, yes.
So we thank you for your efforts on behalf of your client.
Thank you.
We thank Ms. Kramer as well. So our last case for argument, Crosby versus Cooper Beeline.